Good morning, everybody. I am Judy, a compulsive overeater, and I will tell you, I still get very nervous before I speak because there's some part of me that thinks I got to somehow instill this great pearl of wisdom in all of you that's going to like shake your recovery or something. I just pray to be me. God, let this be about you. So I'd like to do first, just to get the stats, the numbers out of the way. I came into OA the first time before my 30th birthday. I'm 64 now. I had a really great recovery for, 4 or 5 years. Probably lost about 145 pounds. And I do have some pictures. Came back about 5 years later, where I gained back about 160 pounds. Stayed in a few years, lost maybe 80 pounds. 100 pounds, went back out. And then I came back in again right before Hurricane Sandy, September 2012. And by a miracle of God, this December I'll have 10 years. From the height of my first relapse, I'm down between, in it waivers, between 170 and 175 pounds. And I have been maintaining a healthy body weight for a few years now. Dare I say healthy? But I am just going to show you some pictures quick. So you can see what I used to look like, and that's me at Christmas time. And I will tell you, you see why I'm smiling? Because I never thought I looked fat. And that's the truth. I thought my black clothes made me look normal. I thought I was the anomaly. I thought I might weigh 300 or over 300 pounds, and I only look like I weigh 180. For some reason in my head, I believed that until I saw a picture. And I've heard people on this meeting share I'm a low bottom compulsive overeater, an industrial strength compulsive overeater, and I'm definitely one of those, but I am a huge, massive volume eater and a super speedy eater. I think when I was eating, the food bypassed my mouth and went right down my throat. I like couldn't wait to get it in that quickly. But what I was like, you know, I think I might have been born a compulsive overeater, or I became one very quickly. I remember being younger, never being satisfied with just one of anything. And I've shared this before. You know, my parents sent me to diet camp at age 7 for 2 months. And maybe it was then that I became a compulsive overeater because, like, you're on a diet. I mean, you're 7. What do you know? And then some stranger weighs you every Sunday. It was horrible, but my parents sent me for 9 summers in a row. So my life was 2 months. Judy's on a diet at camp, 10 months. Let's try and keep Judy on a diet at home. And I do believe I can be as addicted to dieting as I am to food. There was nothing I loved more than finding another diet. Oh my God. And I loved buying the new containers for it, the new food, and then sticking to it was a whole nother story. And, you know, my weight kind of, you know, I used to go to diet camp and the kids would be like, why are you here? Because I really wasn't fat then for a lot of those years. And but I was still treated like the fat person in the family. And I really believed everything wrong in our family was because I was fat. It just seemed to be the focus. To me as a kid, it was the focus. I hated when I saw my aunt. And she'd bring me an article from the newspaper on how to lose weight. And it was just a horrible experience with that. But I will tell you, I love that through this program, I don't blame anything on my parents. I love them greatly. My mother had this disease really bad. And I don't want to say she taught me a lot of my bad behaviors, but I learned a lot from her. She was a Weight Watchers superstar in the 70s, walked across the stage at Atlantic City. She had lost 170 pounds. And she said the next day she started gaining it back. I can relate to that. But in high school, when I used to go to the weigh and pay, you know, she taught me about you had to make the scale lower than the week before. So, you know, in high school, I did water pills, speed, suppositories, anything to weigh lower. And that was always so humiliating going and having some stranger weigh you. When I went to college, my weight really blossomed up or over 300. I don't know what I weighed there. You know, college was an experience. You know, it was drugs and alcohol and food. but I am definitely not an alcoholic or a drug addict because I had no problem stopping them. Or smoking, I stopped cigarettes and pot. But food was another animal. Food just had its claws into me. And, but as the time went on, a few things happened. My grandmother died, who I was closest to more than anybody on this earth. I was in a bad car accident and I just ate, and I never even went to my college graduation. I just didn't even go. I felt like such crap. You have no idea. So, you know, in my 20s, I really definitely hit my bottom. I stopped going out of the house for 2 years. I have no idea how big I got during that time, but I just ate. And I understand that show where people weigh over several hundred pounds, because that definitely could have been me. I definitely did not believe in God, but I realize now he saved me. He had to, because he got me out of my room, which I had no idea how that would happen. I was able to lose some weight on my own. I became bulimic in my 20s after I saw a talk show on it. I became bulimic that day. I thought it was the solution. Oh, my God. I'll keep myself from gaining weight. And from that day till sometime in my late 20s, I threw up every single thing that I ate. Convinced I wasn't getting it all out, I was addicted to laxatives. So literally, my life revolved around the toilet. And then I say, I got too lazy to be bulimic. It was just too much work, all that purging, and my weight skyrocketed quickly. So I came into OA before my 30th birthday, and I will tell you, at the meeting was two other people, a brand new person and a woman who was morbidly obese and a relapse for 5 years, and she only showed up in case somebody came. And I got abstinent at that meeting. So I don't believe that crap when they say, oh, you got to look like this or that, so people will want what you have. Nope. That woman took her time and explained the program, gave us pamphlets. And I went to another meeting a few days later, and I was on the OA train. I loved OA. I belonged. People shared what they weighed. I made fast friends like we do in OA, you know, and I lost all my weight, and I was speaking, and I was sponsoring a million people before cell phones. And I was so high. I mean, I thought I arrived on every level. I had such a huge spiritual awakening. I converted. I mean, I was just all that. I had no idea you could grow spiritually. I thought I reached it. And as I like to say, for every pound I lost, I gained in my head, because I looked good. I mean, in my head, boy, did I look good. And oh, my God, the pride. I was so insane. You have no idea. And I'm going to share how insane I was. I had a huge spiritual awakening. I had lost all of my weight, gone through the steps more than once, was sponsoring. And I will tell you, I've only had two real relationships in my life with people I knew their last name, you know, two real relationships. One was a woman for 8 years. We owned a house together. I thought that was my life. And then my husband, Dave, we've been married 27 years, knew each other for 3, and I met him in OA. I don't know if it's such a good thing to marry another compulsive overeater. But so anyway, here I am in a relationship with Nancy, going to mass every morning, because I'm totally obsessed with the priest. And I'm convinced he's not interested in me, because I'm thinking the priest is gay. Not that he's a priest, but that he's gay. And this is here I am in my recovery. And then when he moved to another church, I somehow developed this relationship with a man in Arizona who I never met through work. And we were exchanging photos and talking like we had some future. And I'm in a relationship with someone. So I was living a life of total dishonesty. Never even saw anything wrong with what I was doing. The food started to go. And I will tell you, for me, a huge red flag was I started looking for reasons to eat out. And the diners had to have a salad bar, because I was already craving the volume. And for me, I used to say, you know, salad bars were legal binges. You know, I'd only get the dry vegetables, and then it went only the vegetables with oil. And then it was everything, you know, everything came back except dessert. And then, of course, dessert followed. So I came back to OA that second time, and I really worked a lousy program. I mean, I was still in la-la land. And honestly, I always say my second addiction to food was people. I always had to be obsessed on someone, at least one person. And, you know, they somehow made me forget my life. So that lasted a few years and went back out. And then I actually started losing weight on my own because I somehow managed to switch addictions and I didn't want the food anymore. So when that ended, you know, the weight comes on so quickly. You know, I could go away on Friday, away for the weekend, wearing my jeans comfortably. And by Sunday, they barely buttoned and I could barely breathe. I mean, that's how quickly the weight can come on. So I came back to OA, and unlike the first two times, I did not get abstinent that first meeting. And I sat there, and I still remember in my face-to-face meet. Well, first I met an old sponsor who brought me because I was terrified to go. I remember wearing an outfit so tight, praying people could not see how much weight I gained, like they cared. But to me, they cared. And I remember, though, going to that meeting and crying that I just couldn't put down the food. And I remember looking at everybody and feeling that they were looking at me like I had a third eye and I was such an outcast. I isolated myself so much. And then Christmas in 2012, we had it at our home and I was good. You know what good is? I was good. I had joined a Weigh and Pay online and I was following it. And then the next, I binged when everybody left. I just emptied all the bowls. Then the next morning I woke up and somehow I managed to stick with my food plan. And I did it for 3 days in a row. I went to my meeting and I got a sponsor. So the one thing I want to share is I do believe we get abstinent in our sleep because we go to bed eating and we wake up and somehow we don't eat that day. And the most exciting thing is, you don't even know when it's going to come. It just comes. There was nothing special that made me put down the food that day. It was the same prayer every night. God, please help me. I just can't do this. You know, help me stop eating. Ate the next day. And how I tried, I remember I would bring my abstinent lunch with me in the car to work only to eat it on the way because there was food there. You know, if there was food, I had to eat it. No way it was making. And then, of course, I bought lunch. I mean, but I did get abstinent and I just started doing what my sponsor said. I'm on my third sponsor since I've come back. I would say she really was not a great sponsor, my passing judgment, but I was so terrified of her. I think that was the reason I didn't pick up those first 2 years. I was so terrified to tell her I wasn't abstinent. I even stayed with her when she relapsed. I was so afraid of her. But she called me one day and said, I'm leaving OA. And I was grateful because I couldn't do it. But she's since come back and is in recovery and is doing really well. I got a second sponsor who's exactly what I needed. She was 20 years older than me. She taught me how to love myself. And she also taught me to stop being so hard on myself. And, you know, I kid around with, you know, I follow Judy's rules of recovery and Judy's standards for living. It's like, who's Judy? Fire her. I can't even live up to my rules and standards. They were suffocating me. And trust me, I still fall into them, especially my rules of recovery. You know, I got to get to this meeting. You know, all the craziness in my head. And I had to let her go. We're still friendly because, well, first of all, she got sick and it was hard. She had no, anyway, it doesn't even matter. But I have this sponsor now who, oh my God, she inspires me every day. And she's a 200 pounder, many, many, many years of absent, older than me, almost 80. But she runs circles around me for service. She still does. She works her program so hard, but her tidbits of knowledge, like she, you know, she says, I have to want abstinence and recovery more than I want to breathe. And I need to hear that. I need to hear how critical my abstinence is to me or I'm going to die. And we were talking one time, you know, I wish I brought them over with me, but I have food handler gloves I wear in the kitchen when I have company, everyone, it's sanitary and I don't have to touch any food, desserts or anything. It's right in the garbage. And she goes, you know, she goes, I don't go to somebody's house, or I don't go and take money from somebody's wallet. I'm not going to take their food. And the other thing she just shared with me recently was,
you have 5 minutes left.
Thanks, Gloria. She says, you know, I might think the color of the paint on the walls is pretty, but I don't go over and lick the wall. So I just love all these little things she tells me. So if anything, I just hope to instill hope on everybody that recovery is possible. I thought food neutrality was like one of those urban myths. I thought people were full of crap when they said it. Like, I did not believe it to be, and I have food neutrality today. I didn't have it my first few years of abstinence, because I realized the stumbling block for me was some behaviors that were keeping me stuck. I can't do bites, licks, and tastes. I have to be real specific with my food plan. I write it down. I send it to my sponsor every night. I tell her how many times a day I'm eating and what I'm eating at each meal, period. And it works. I have to do that. I bring all my own food to people's houses. I do not weigh in a restaurant, but, you know, I'm a volume eater. And if I see a bowl like this and I'm supposed to take a normal portion, I'm like, okay, just give me the bowl. That's a normal portion, you know? And I was thinking about this. I went on this diet one time, and you couldn't eat all day except for dinner. You could eat whatever you wanted at dinner, like, and you didn't eat the rest. So literally my plate was a turkey platter. Like, that was the size plate that I used, because I was allowed to eat in that hour, and I had it filled. So yes, I'm not a good eye person. Maybe one day I have sponsees who go to people's houses and go, yeah, take a scoop of this, a scoop of that. And I'm like, my scoop is the whole bowl. So I just went to a barbecue on Sunday at family, and I brought my food. Not one person ever asked me, what are you eating? Why aren't you eating? Nope. And by miracle, I can sit at that table with what everybody else eats. I work my program, probably no harder than others. I'm not going to say I work it really hard, but I personally go through the steps every January. I love it. I go a different way, or I rotate. Now I'm doing the OA 12 and 12 and the AA 12 and 12. And I'm bringing all my sponsors wanted to go through them with me again. We did it last year using the Big Book and Joe and Charlie tapes. We always do something different. And more keeps being revealed. I'm in steps 8 and 9 now. And wow, I just did an inventory from my sponsor on the harsh critical judgments I've had of people throughout my life. Realizing I've judged every single person, every family member, every friend, everybody. Meetings are critical to me, but, you know, meetings are good, but I had to recognize that, like, you know, to a man who's like dying of thirst, water is invaluable, and that same man can die, can drown from too much water. And I had to recognize if I was using meetings and outreach calls as a way to escape my life. I do outreach calls every day, but I could just do nothing but make outreach calls, and then I don't have to think about anything else. So I continually seek to find the balance. I generally go to 2 meetings a day, which seems to work, but I recognize days like today will be 1 meeting. Two-way prayer is critical to me. I've been doing that since my first recovery. And one of the things I'm struggling with now is my love for the 3 a.m., because I realized I've been sacrificing my physical health for my spiritual health. And it was really good to stay in bed today until 10 after 3, because I knew I had to speak today. So I guess in the last minute, I just want to say, I heard an AA speaker share, and I love AA speakers, and every time if I play him, this makes me cry. He asked the people, like, who's on day one? And then he goes, the good news is, and I'll change it for food, you never have to eat again. You know, and I say that to all of you who's ever eating, you honestly never have to eat again. Like, today can be your day one of permanent abstinence and recovery for the rest of your life. I mean, it's a promise of this program. It's not it's not set aside just for special people. It's a promise. And trust me, I know about the relapse. So I know my time is just about up, Gloria, and I just want to end with one moment. You know, I'm 64 years old, and I've had this recovery for, it's 9.5 years. So I came in around 55. It took me all this time to get to where I am today, you know, through my relapses. My relapses, my recovery was flawed, period. And so anyway, I just want to thank you all. And I really love you all. And I love this meeting. And what a blessing to have found it. Thanks.